Thank you for joining us. You are listening to the podcast that highlights the weekly sermons from Cumberland County Community Church in Millville, New Jersey. Each week, you will hear biblically based messages from our senior pastor, Sal Roggio, or other community church pastors. For more information on our church, please visit cccmillville.org or check out the links in the podcast notes. We begin each message with our scripture reading, so here we go.
Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will give you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev.
Pretty much in the news for all of us today, isn't it? Center stage. In fact, what's happening in Israel affects the whole world. And so knowing about Israel is important. God set apart Israel for his purpose in revealing his holiness. They were to be a holy nation, and that reflected who God was. And they were to be not only a holy nation, but they also were the nation where God would choose to bring forth the Messiah who would become the Savior of the world. Any mention of Israel also brings to mind the part that Jerusalem plays. We want to look today at four realities about Israel that will help us understand the role it plays both in the past and in the present. So let's begin with the founding of Israel. Israel started with God's promise to Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 7, "Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, 'To your offspring I will give this land.' So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him." In Genesis 15, 18, "On that day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, 'To your offspring I will give this land from the river Euphrates to the great river, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river of Euphrates. And I will give to you, and notice this, to your offspring after you, the land of your sojourning, all the land of Canaan.'" Now notice this next line, "For an everlasting possession, I will be their God." Then God repeats the promise to Isaac. We have Abraham and then Isaac, Genesis 26, verse 1. "Now there was a famine in the land beside the former famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Gerar to Abimelech, king of the Philistines. And the Lord appeared to him and said, 'Do not go down to Egypt. Dwell in the land of which I shall tell you. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you,'" notice, "'and will bless you, for to you and to your offspring I will give all these lands, and I will establish the oath that I swore to Abraham, your father.'" And so God made an oath to Abraham. It's now passed on to Isaac. Genesis 26, 4, "I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, and I will give to your offspring all these lands, and in your offspring all the nations of the earth shall be blessed." Now, of course, in that's looking forward to the Messiah, the Christ, and all of the earth is blessed as a result of that. Now, why did God make this promise? Well, Genesis 26, verse 5, as God is speaking to Isaac, he tells us one of the reasons he made this promise. Listen to what he says. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And so as a result of Abraham's faithfulness, one of the reasons that God gave the land was because of what Abraham was and what he did. Now God renews the promise to Jacob. So we have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now Jacob gets that renewal when he was fleeing from Esau. And remember in Genesis 28:10, Jacob left Beersheba and went towards Haran. And behold, the Lord stood above it. Now, what was that? As I go to Genesis 28:13, that was Jacob's ladder. He's fleeing. He lies on the ground, puts a rock down for a pillow, and wakes up, and there's a ladder ascending and descending into heaven. And at the top of that ladder is God, a vision of God. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, notice this, I will give to you and to all your offspring. So he said to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, I'm going to give you this land. Why did God choose the people of Israel? Well, we know that he blessed Abraham because of his obedience, but there's another reason underlining the whole thing. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7, it says, it was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you are the fewest of all the peoples. And then in verse 8, but it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers, that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the land of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Not because you were big, not because you were powerful, not because you were super special. No, you were the least. But I've chose to put my love upon you. So God chooses the nation of Israel. Chapter 7, verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. Now, I think what he's saying in a sense is, you know, God can do what he wants. He could choose the least and make them his people, where he will bring in the Messiah. He is God, the faithful God. He keeps his word. He made a promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Now that same promise is renewed to Joshua in Joshua 1:3. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you just as I promised to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. Now this encompasses a large mass. This would cover the area including modern day Israel, Lebanon, Syria, Jordan, and parts of Iraq and Turkey. I want you to see this map a minute, and as you look at it, this here, I point it the right way, and it works. This is Israel today. This is what God promised Israel. Do you see why all the other nations want to kick Israel out? God promised them all that land. They almost had it at one time when Solomon was in the king, and they had their kingdom really expanded. But you can understand why others are a little upset, because they can read the book like we can, and the land that was promised to Israel was quite a piece of land. And so this is what he was promised, and one day it will happen. So then in Joshua 21:43, thus the Lord gave to Israel all the land that he swore to give to their fathers, and they took possession of it and they settled there. And then it says, and the Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their fathers. Again, the God who keeps his word. Not one of all their enemies had withstood them, for the Lord had given all their enemies into their hands. Not one word of all the good promises that the Lord had made to the house of Israel had failed. All came to pass. Now it's important to look at why God did this. It says Israel was chosen to be the nation through which the Messiah would come. And Israel, the land of Israel, and the nation of Israel were to be the center or the core of that promise. And right there in Jerusalem and all the surrounding lands, there would be the land where God's chosen people would dwell and the Messiah would come. In fact, one day Jesus was talking to a woman at the well, and she was asking some theological questions, and Jesus is answering them. And he says in John 4:22, "You worship what you do not know." Wow, that's quite a statement, isn't it? And sometimes I tell people that. Yeah, I know what you're worshiping. You have no idea what you're worshiping, because they're not worshiping the true and living God. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know. For salvation is from the Jews. Moses told them that other nations would look up to them if they obeyed the Lord. And this is what God intended the nation of Israel to do. And the Jews are the ones who were to deliver the message of salvation to a fallen world. Deuteronomy 4:5, "See, I have taught you statutes and rules as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do them in the land that you are entering to take possession of. Keep them and do them, for that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of peoples, who will they, when they hear, all these nations will say, 'Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people.'" And it says, "For what great nation is there that has a God so near? So it is the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him." Now, you notice it says people will say, "What a great nation. What a great nation," because look at what they have. They have a God who is so near, and what great people in the hell under. And is that what's happening today? I don't think so. People are not looking at Israel and saying, "What a great nation, and what a wonderful thing God is doing." They're looking at great destruction in Israel today. Why is that? Well, let's talk about the failure of Israel. In Amos 3:1, it says, "Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O people of Israel, against the whole family that I brought up out of the land of Egypt." So Israel has been blessed. God has done miracle after miracle. He's delivered them into the promised land. Now he's rebuking them. In chapter 3, verse 2, "You only have I known of all the families on the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for your iniquities." And so Israel has the advantage of the living God leading, guiding, directing, pillar of fire at night and cloud by day, miracles, released from Egypt, crossing water when the waters divide. They see all these wonderful things. Wouldn't you think they'd be the holiest nation on earth? And yet something happens. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 32. "For ask me now the days that are past, which were before you, since the day that God created man on the earth, and ask from one end of heaven to the other, whether such a great thing as this has ever happened or was ever heard of." So Israel was richly, richly blessed. But then Deuteronomy 4:33, "Did any people ever hear the voice of God speaking out in the midst of fire as you have heard and still live?" And then, "Or has any God ever attempted to go and take a nation for himself from the midst of other from other nation, and by trials, by signs, by wonders, by war, by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm and by great deeds of terror, all of which the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes?" Then he goes on to say, "To you it was shown that you might know that the Lord is God. There is no other besides me." Man, I would think that Israel would have been the holiest nation on earth, filled with the joy of Lord, doing everything God wanted. He goes on to say, "Out of heaven he let you hear his voice that he might discipline you. On earth he let you see his great fire, and you heard his words out of the midst of the fire. And because he loved your fathers and chose your offspring after them and brought you out of Egypt with his presence, by his great power, driving out before you nations greater and mightier than you, to bring you bring you in to give you their land for inheritance as it is to this day. Know therefore today and lay it to your heart that the Lord is God in heaven above, and on earth beneath there is no other. Now, this is incredible. God is making the list of all the wonderful things he did for the nation of Israel, how he demonstrated himself over and over to them. And then he goes on to say, therefore you shall keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command you today, that it may go well with you and with your children after you, that you may prolong your days in the land that the Lord your God is giving you for all time. Now, here's an interesting thing. Prolong your days in the land he's given you for all time, but if you're disobedient, you're not going to prolong your days in the land. God has given that land to them perpetually, forever. But they don't always occupy the land. Why don't they always occupy the land? Even though it's theirs now by God, they're not always doing what God wants them to do. And as a result of that, many times they are cast out of the land. They are taken captive by other nations. 2 Kings 17:6. In the ninth year of Hosea, king of Assyria, captured Samaria and carried the Israelites away to Assyria and placed them in Halah and on the harbor of the river Gozan and in the cities of the Medes. And this occurred. Why? This occurred because the people of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, who had brought them up out of the land of Egypt from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had feared other gods. Very interesting, but you know, I think of this when I read this, and I think of my years of growing up in the United States. Do you remember when your teacher would open up a Bible in front of the class and start the class with a Bible verse in prayer? Do you remember when Christians were honored in our country and our country followed the Lord? Let me ask you a question. If you are over 50 years old, do you see a major contrast in America today? Same thing happened to Israel. Same thing. But Israel, God punished them much more swiftly, because how can you turn away from God who divides the Red Sea? How can you turn away from God who puts a cloud that you can follow by day or by night? How can you turn away from a God who brings water out of rocks? How can you turn away from God who provides food from heaven and over and over and over again displays his glory? What happened? Here's what happened. They feared other gods. It's amazing how easy hearts are turned away from the living God. And they feared other gods. Look in verse chapter 17, verse 8. And they walked in the customs of the nations whom the Lord drove out before the people of Israel, and in the customs that the king of Israel had practiced. Now I want you to notice, as the leaders went, what happened to the nation? They followed. That's why we should pray for our leaders. Remember the prayer of Fiddler on the Roof, right? How shall we pray for the Tsar? Lord, bless the Tsar and keep him far from us. It's the situation we find ourselves in today. 2 Kings 17:8, and walked in the customs of the nations whom the Lord drove out before the people of Israel, and in the customs that the kings of Israel had practiced. And so, what a mess. And then the people of Israel did this secretly against the Lord. Their God thinks it were not right. They built for themselves high places in all their towns, from watchtower to fortified city. And they set up for themselves pillars and ashram. That ashram is worshiping female goddesses. And every high hill and under every green tree. This is a nation that has been delivered by God, and the Lord says, I, the Lord your God, am one. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And yet, they boldly did what they wanted to do. In 2 Kings 17:11, and there they made offerings on the high places, as the nations did whom the Lord carried away before them. And they did wicked things, provoking the Lord to anger. And they served idols, of which the Lord had said to them, you shall not do this. And then in chapter 17, verse 13 of 2 Kings, yet the Lord warned Israel and Judah by every prophet and every seer, saying, turn from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes in accordance with all the law that I commanded your fathers, that I sent to you by my servant the prophets. Now think about this. They're disobeying God, and God doesn't just leave them out there. He sends prophets, he sends seers, he sends people to say, thus saith the Lord. And the people shut their ears off and are not listening. 2 Kings 17:14, but they would not listen. They were stubborn as their fathers had been, who did not believe in the Lord their God. And notice what happened. Verse 15 says, they despised his statutes and his covenant that he made with their fathers and the warnings that he gave them. They went after false idols and became false, and they followed the nations that were around them, concerning whom the Lord had commanded them that they should not do like them. And what happened? And they abandoned all the commandments of the Lord, their God, and made for themselves metal images of two calves. And they made an Ashtoreth and worshipped all the host of heaven and served Baal. And they burned their sons and their daughters as offerings. Can you imagine this? They burned their sons and their daughters as offerings and used divination and omens and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger. Therefore, the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them out of his sight. That means that he removed them out of the land. None was left but the tribe of Judah only. But notice this now. Judah also did not keep the commandments of the Lord their God, but walked in the customs that Israel had introduced. So, you know, Israel had an internal battle after Solomon died, and there was a split in the kingdom. You had two kingdoms. One walked far from God. One was clinging to God. But now both are walking far from God. And Judah has watched what God has done to the Israelites that separated from following him. And what's happening? They do the same thing. And so in verse 20 of chapter 17, the Lord rejected all his descendants of Israel and afflicted them and gave them into the hand of plunderers until he had cast them out of his sight. It's hard to imagine to me. It's hard to, I'd like to think that if God showed up and had I had a vision of the living God, or I saw a ladder, or I saw waters divide, or I heard of all the miracles, wouldn't I be clinging to God? And yet, didn't happen. So we see the founding of Israel, the failure of Israel, but now I want to talk about the friends of Israel. Despite all that Israel did, God will never break his promises that he made to them. He will discipline them, he will judge them, but he'll never break the promise. He promised them that land, and he promised they would be in that land. Listen to what Genesis says in chapter 12, verse 2. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. Genesis 12, 3. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. This is an interesting balance here. Here it is. Whether Israel is doing the right thing with God or not, we dare not refuse to bless Israel. Listen to what the scriptures say. I will bless those who do what? Bless you. And him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. We understand that Israel walked away from God and is suffering consequences. We understand God is always in the process of purification and bringing them back to himself. But we are not the judge of Israel. God will deal with them. And what are we called to do? We're called to recognize that God used Israel to bring in the Messiah and to bring a notification to the world of who God is. And that was their role. Now, how do we bless Israel today? Psalm 122, verse 6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Pray for Jerusalem. Pray for the nation. That's what we're called to do. Then we also need to realize that God's judgments do not void his promises. And pray for their salvation. What does God want to do with Israel? Well, God wants to save Israel. He wants them to come to know the Messiah that they rejected. In Romans 10:1, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. So then in Romans 11:1, he says, I ask then, has God rejected his people? Listen to the answer. By no means. For I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah, how he appeals to God against Israel? Lord, they have killed your prophets. They have demolished your altars. I alone am left, and they seek my life. And then the Lord says, but what is God's reply? Listen to this. I have kept for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. God still has a purpose and a plan for Israel, and he will be calling people to salvation. And we know that many Jewish people are coming to the Lord in this time of great difficulty, and God is calling them to salvation. Romans 11:5, so too, at the present time, there is a remnant, notice this, chosen by grace. So we are to honor Israel as God wants us to honor Israel. We do not accept everything they do, just as any nation has its failings. The United States is included in that list. But we honor Israel as those that God chose to bring the Messiah into the world to represent who he was. And we pray that they would return to the calling that God has given them. And that will happen when they come to discover who the Lord is. So I want to talk about the future of Israel. Zechariah 12:10, and I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and pleas for mercy, so that they, when they look on me, whom they have pierced, they shall mourn for him as one mourns for an only child and weep bitterly over him as one who weeps over a firstborn. There will come a day where Israel will recognize how far from God's commands they have gone and who the true Messiah, Savior of the world is. Romans 11:25, lest you be wise in your own sight, I do not want you to be unaware of this mystery, brothers. A partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And in this way, notice this, all Israel will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will banish ungodliness from Jacob. And this will be my covenant with them when I take away their sins. There's coming a day when Israel will recognize whom they pierced. They will turn to the living God. Then he goes on to say in verse 28, as regards the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But as regards election, they are beloved for the sake of their forefathers. God has made a promise, and he plans to fulfill it. Romans 11:29, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. So, God has a plan for Israel. And one of the most exciting things that's going to happen in Israel is there's going to be a new Jerusalem. Every time I go to Jerusalem, my heart pains. Jerusalem is filled with so many idols, statues, wherever you go. Churches built over so-called holy places. And people, like, worship these things. I get grieved in my spirit when I see it, because it's all about the living God, not a statue in a corner somewhere, not a religious function that you do. And Israel obviously doesn't serve Jesus because they're Jewish, but even the people in Israel who claim to be Christian, you have to be very careful, because much of it seems to move into idol worship. We don't worship idols. And it's very important. In fact, one day, God is going to remove Israel, remove Jerusalem completely. It's going to be completely destroyed. And all those things that are built are going to be gone. They're going to be leveled. But God's not done. In Revelation 21:12, and I saw the holy city, notice this, the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now Israel is receiving Christ, and the new Jerusalem is coming down. Revelation 21:3, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates, 12 angels. And notice this one. And at the gates, the names of the 12 tribes. God is not done with Israel. At the gates, the names of the 12 tribes, the sons of Israel, were inscribed. There's coming a special day when all that was meant to be in Jerusalem, all that was meant to be in Israel, is going to take place. And the holy city will come down from heaven. Years ago, a fellow sat down and wrote a song to that. I want to share it with you today.
Last night I lay a-sleeping, I had a dream so fair. I stood in old Jerusalem beside the temple there. I heard the children singing, and ever as they sang, I heard the voice of angels in heaven an answer rang. I thought the voice of angels in heaven an answer rang. Jerusalem, your gates and sing. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna to your King. And then I thought my dream was changed. The streets no longer rang. Gone were the glad hosannas the little children sang. With mystery, the morn was cold and chill, as a shadow of a cross arose upon a lonely hill. As the shadow of a cross arose upon a lonely hill. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, sing. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna to your King. Then once again my dream was changed. New earth there seemed to be. I saw the holy city beside the tideless sea. The light of God was on its streets. The gates were open wide, and all who would might enter, and no one was denied. No need of moon or stars by night, or sun to shine by day. It was the new Jerusalem that would not pass away. It was the new Jerusalem that would not pass away. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, sing for the night. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna forevermore. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna forevermore.
Okay. Well, thank you. Let's have a word of prayer and go home. Lord, we thank you that your word is sure. When you make a promise, you keep it. And that encourages us, because you said, whoever believes on me has eternal life. We rest in that and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to our weekly sermon. Please like, share, and subscribe so you will be notified when the next sermon is uploaded. If you have any questions, would like a copy of the sermon notes, or would like to speak with someone directly, you can find our information on our website at cccmillville.org or in the podcast notes. Until next time, God bless.